It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful day. We're in the book of John, John chapter 15. We're going to begin reading with verse 11, and we read through the 11th verse down through verse 17. I'd like for you to join me, so please open your Bibles to John chapter 15, beginning with the 11th verse. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. Now, if that's given you a few moments to find John chapter 15, we'll begin reading with the 11th verse, John chapter 15, verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the precious Word. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come and to enjoy this study together with these folks, all the listeners. Please, Lord, that you will guide and lead us as we study this precious Word. We've got some wonderful words here. We have fruit and more fruit, much fruit. We have the word continue, his love, joy, peace. Wonderful, Lord. Please help us to understand and apply it to each one of our hearts and lives as we study this word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We ended last time. We had just an opportunity, not very long, but we had just an opportunity to look at the tabernacle that we found back in Exodus chapter 25. We talked about Exodus chapter 20 is where we find the law. Well, Exodus 25, we have grace. We have the means of redemption where man can come and meet God. It's important that we know these pictures that we have. And the reason that we went back there is because we're talking about abiding and we're talking about producing fruit. And there's a way to understand that and a way to know how to do that. And I want to use this as a picture to understand what that's like. And so as we look at the tabernacle, we're not going to take time to go through each part as we did last time. If you missed the last message that we had, the last program that we spent together, why, just let me know and I will be glad to get this information to you. I'll just send you the tape. But as we look at the tabernacle, we have the courtyard and we have the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Holy place and the Holy of Holies is in one building, 45 feet long, 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall. Out in the courtyard of that, before that, is this brazen altar that we talked about, then a brazen laver. You go into the first room, which is the holy place. In there, we have the table of showbread, the lampstand, and an incense altar. Then beyond the veil, which is going into the Holy of Holies, then you have the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. So there is a very quick picture. We spent a little more time last time. But our life as a believer in Jesus Christ always must begin at the cross. So at the cross would be this brazen laver. The brazen altar, because that's where the sacrifices were offered, and that's where Jesus Christ died for us. That's a picture that we have. Then next is this brazen laver, which still is brass, and so when we look at that, we think of something that always through the Old Testament, brass stands for judgment. And as you look at gold, then that stands for the deity or for God. But now outside, everything here was brass. The altar was brass, and this wash basin, this laver, was brass. Well, of course, judgment must come because that's the cost of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Scripture tells us. And so the judgment must be taken care of, and that we find at the altar, the brazen altar. But the first thing then that happens to a Christian's life, God begins to change us, take away the old wicked ways, and begin to bring us and cleanse us and wash us. Well, that's the picture we have of what the Word of God does for us at this brazen laver. Well, after the washing, then we can come in and we'll begin to have fellowship with the Lord. So salvation is certain, salvation is finished. Once you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him that He has died upon the cross of Calvary. So we have this beautiful picture here. We've come to the cross of Calvary, we're saved, the brass altar. We've come now and went into the Word of God and had this washing that takes place and begins to cleanse our life and change our life. That's the reason you must stay in church. You must be under the Word of God, because that's the only way that you're ever going to change. People many times will run away from the Lord because they get down, they get defeated, because they don't seem to have any victory. They even wonder if they're saved. It comes because they are not under the teaching of the Word of God. And so we must look to the Word of God for that instruction, for that cleansing and that work that needs to be done. Well, then we can go into the first room, which is 30 feet long, 15 foot wide, and 15 foot high. Has three pieces of furniture in there. The first piece I'm going to speak of, again, is the table of showbread. Because, you see, as the washing of the Word, as we open up the Word of God and it cleanses us, also we must be fed. Well, then, as the table of showbread is a picture of the feeding that God does to us, gives us through His Word, all by the work of the Holy Spirit as we study and pour through the Word of God. We also, because of the lampstand that is in this room, we also have much light to see everything. And it's so important that you know that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the light of the world. And because of the Lord Jesus, now we have come from outside in, and now we enjoy the light of this lampstand, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus. We have the bread upon the table of showbread to enjoy feeding upon the Word as a picture. And then we have one piece of furniture left, and that's the incense altar. And this incense altar would have the beautiful fragrance that come from it and filled the tabernacle. And if you'd go outside, it wouldn't take long that you would get close enough that you'd have the stench of death because of the offering of the sacrifices upon the brazen altar. But you come inside, and that's what happens when we have real fellowship with the Lord. We come inside, we enjoy the sweet odor, we enjoy that wonderful fellowship with the Lord. Well, it doesn't end there. It goes on from fellowship to worship, because as you come, and there's another name for this incense altar, it's called the prayer altar. So upon the washing by the Word at the brazen laver, upon the feeding of the Word at the table of showbread, because of the light of the lampstand, the light of the Lord Jesus, we begin to come before the Lord prayerfully, searching His will and way for our life. And upon doing so, then we can come right before the Father, because you see the veil that is between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, that veil was rent in two, entwined from top to bottom when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. So now, because of the Lord Jesus, we can go right into the presence of the Father. But it must come by the cross, through the washing, by the feeding, enjoying the incense, because of the light that the Lord Jesus has given us, leadership of the Holy Spirit. We come in right into the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God the Father, to worship Him. Now, that's the life of a Christian. And the reason I wanted to take time to go through that, and I wish you were here so you could see, we could draw it out on a chalkboard, we could do something so you could physically see it in your mind. And again, you can go back and read this back in Exodus 25. This is a beautiful picture that was given, and it was given that we may know the will of God and the way of God. It's just so important to know how the Lord Jesus has this plan all the way back in the book of Exodus. And so, yes, He gave us the law, It showed us how sin-sick we are. And then he gave us a way out, and that's by the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. This picture was given clear back in Exodus chapter 25. Now, we're to abide. Well, the abiding comes by the cross, by the washing, by the feeding, by the sweet incense, by the light of the Lord Jesus, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. All those things come for us that we may produce fruit. How much fruit? Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And it's wonderful to look to the Word of God and see the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to bring honor and glory unto God our Father, if we want to bring praise and honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be producing fruit. And so it's important that we learn that truth here, because that is the purpose of this scripture here. Jesus is teaching us one main truth, that is the fruitful life of the believer. That's what he's teaching us here. There's always fruit where there is life. Now you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he gives you life, the potential for that fruit is there. An unfruitful branch is worthless, so is an unfruitful believer. If you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, you've ignored his teaching, you've ignored his word, you've ignored his church, you are worthless unto God, and please that you will wake up today and begin to serve the Lord and walk after the Lord. It's very, very important that you produce fruit. Fruit is not produced by the believer. It comes from God. And please that you understand it comes from Him by us abiding in Him. We have many scripture verses here. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. He gives us his will and way. Verse 9, as my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. He gives us great direction in his word, but if you don't study his word, you don't know what that is. Now, it is something, once again, that we cannot do on our own. It's something that is done by the power of God through us because we choose to abide. Go back to the branch and to the vine, as that branch must get all of its life, all of its nourishment, everything from the vine. And if we don't get it from the vine, we're just going to shrivel up and die. And that's what's going to happen if you don't begin to come into the house of God, begin to hear the Word of God. That's the reason we have this program, for two reasons. One, to bring you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you'll come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. That's one. The second is that through the teaching of the Word of God, that you will have the cleansing, as the brazen laver gives us, and you'll have the feeding from the table of showbread. Please, that it begin. But I don't want you just to sit at home and listen to just this program, or maybe you listen to several programs. That's not enough. If you sit there and watch the television, you have your television preachers that you watch, that's not enough. I want you in the house of God. God gave us the local church for you to be in, to grow, to be cleansed, and to be nourished through. And God knew that we must have the local church. He gave it to us. Please don't misuse or abuse it. Be in the house of God. Enjoy what it has to offer. The house of God should be a place of refuge. It should be a place where we can come with great comfort and joy and enjoy the presence of God and the presence of other believers as we come together. That's what we should have when we come into the house of God. Now again, we find that we're to be fruitful. We're going to be fruitful when we take the washing by the Word and the feeding by the Word. And all that comes underneath that word abide. Because if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 10. We need to follow the Lord's will. We need to do it. We need to be obedient to it. And he will give us life and will begin to produce fruit that we may bring honor and glory unto the Lord. We look at the fruit of the Spirit. I have read it before, and we'll go back again to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, because we talk about producing fruit. We talk about being fruitful or unfruitful. But if you'll go with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we will read that once again, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And as we look, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It is wonderful to know what we will be like when we abide, when we follow His commandments. It's so important that you listen to that carefully, that we abide and we follow His commandments. Now, it's a joy to study the Scripture here, because we have, in this section that we're in right now, love and joy. Because in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We have love and joy. It speaks of both. We can have neither without the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have neither when we refuse to abide in Him, to get His will, to know His will, and to do His will. It's not going to come, and so it's so important. And then if we can add one more, and that's the word peace, back in the 14th chapter, John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let you be afraid. Peace. We have peace, love, and joy. Love, joy, and peace, as the Galatians would set it in place. And so it's so important that we know that the Father loves the Son. He gave the Son all things into His hand. John chapter 3, verse 35 tells us. Let's go back there very quickly here. John chapter 3, verse 35. John 3, 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. And so we have a love here. The Father loves the Son. We have in the 9th verse, as the Father loved the Son, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. It's a love that is so great that it is a perfect love that the Father has with the Son has with the Father, and that same love is given to us. And so you see our opportunity, you see our potential when we begin to abide in Him. We listen carefully to Him. We enjoy His power. We enjoy His presence. And again, it says in John 3:35 that also the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Look what the Father has given the Son and how great that love is. He gave Him everything. And then in John chapter 5, verse 20, we'll turn there, because if you stayed at John chapter 3, it's only a page over. John chapter 5, verse 20. The Father loveth the Son and showed Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these that ye may marvel. What a wonderful opportunity, as the Lord Jesus Christ not only is given all things, is shown all things, He also turns and shows those things to us if we abide. If we abide. Now, if you'll go with me to John chapter 17, verse 24. John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. The love that God has for His Son, and the Son has for His Father, and the love that He has for us is from before the foundations of the world. Look at the wonderful love that God has. And again, in John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 17, we have many verses of Scripture here concerning the love of God. John chapter 10, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. It's so important, the reason that the love is between the two. Number one is obedient to do as the Father's commanded. And he commanded that he should come and die, that it would give us an opportunity to get back into fellowship with the Lord. Jesus Christ went to the cross and took all of our sins away. It is wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must see the great love that the Father has for the Son and the Son for the Father. In obedience from the beginning, from before the beginning, and the love has been from before the beginning, and so look to the power and the strength of the Lord, and look to a love that you have an opportunity to have. And in verse 17, back to John 17, verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The same love the Father has given to the Son is going to give to us. We have the privilege of abiding and the responsibility of bearing fruit. Look at the great love that a believer has. All we have to do is abide. It's so important. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It's important, because many times this old world has a way of snatching away, literally snatching away the joy. It can take away the peace. We don't even know sometimes as a believer whether you're saved or lost. So sad of a statement to think that the devil can so deceive the believer that he doesn't even know if he's saved, can so deceive the believer that he's lost track of that great love that God has shown towards him through his Son, the Lord Jesus, and the same love that we can have, and we find ourselves not producing fruit. We find ourselves, the peace is gone, the love is gone, the joy is gone, and the reason that it's gone is because we are not abiding. We are stopping this fellowship. We are finding ourselves somewhere locked between the cross and between the brass altar and the brass laver. We find that every time we come to church, the preacher just preaches to us and seems to condemn us, and I'm not going to go back and hear that anymore. You refuse the cleaning, the cleansing, the washing of the Word, so that you can come on to the fellowship and the strength and the abiding, to where you will feel the love, and that love will be a love that you can share with others. Life in Christ is a joyous life. And it's a life that, and it's a joy that will remain. It doesn't just come and go. It will remain, and it will remain eternally if you'll just surrender unto the Lord Jesus. Now, when we come down to the 12th verse, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. The reason we took so much time to look up other verses of Scripture concerning the love between the Father and the Son, I wanted you to see that same love we can have not only between ourselves and God the Father, and ourselves and God the Son, but also we can have that same love for each other. Love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 12. This is a love, and this is a opportunity that we have because of the abiding. As the branch to the vine, you take that branch off. Maybe you need to go out into your yard and take a small branch away from the trunk of the tree and lay it on the ground, and you just need to see how long it takes before those leaves begin to dry up and shrivel up and turn brown and die. Now, the picture here is only to believers, so it's not that you lose your salvation, but you lose every opportunity of sharing the gospel with someone, with having the love and the peace and the joy that God has to offer, because you have cut off that lifeline. It's important. Our life comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ today, you have no life. Jesus died on the cross. Remember the brazen laver. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Upon dying upon that cross, he died that he could set us free, that he could take every sin we've ever committed away. It's wonderful what the Lord Jesus has done for us, but for us to trust in him for salvation and then not abide in him, it is very sad, and you'll lose not your salvation, but you'll lose all the joy and the peace and the love that God has to offer. So please do that, because not only will it be a love again between God the Father and God the Son that you'll have, but there will be a great love between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ, a godly love. Now, to say that ye love one another as I have loved you, as Jesus has loved us, and he loved us so much that he gave his life for us, as a verse of Scripture will tell us. But as we look for that great love, it's a love he has given us, and so through him, by him, we can love each other. And so that's a pretty high goal that God has set. Well, it's not a goal at all, because if we abide, it's given to us. But so we have to follow his commandments, abide in him, and he will give us the greatest love, the greatest joy, and the greatest peace that we can ever imagine, because Jesus Christ gives it to us if we abide in him. We find in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There's the test. What's important to you? Are you willing to do anything for your friend? Even give your life for them? Jesus Christ did. That gives you a small understanding, because you see, he didn't just die for his friends. He died for his enemies. We were an enemy to God, and yet he died for us that we might live. He died when we were an enemy. Now please understand that great love, and that's a love that you can have with your brothers and sisters in Christ. When I told you that you come away, and that's the reason we have Sunday morning Sunday school and church, we have Sunday night, we have Wednesday night, because we need that time to come into a safe place and hear the Word of God and fellowship with other believers. It's not a time that we come and hear the gossip and everything that the world has to offer and the ways of the world. We come that we may hear the Word of God proclaimed and visit and fellowship together. And it is a place of refuge. It's a wonderful place to come. But you need to recognize the need to be there. And once again, the 13th verse is a test. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you love the brothers and sisters in Christ that you would do anything to help them and to build them up? Or are you one that's kind of sitting in the background and you're there to kind of criticize and gossip about them and condemn them, knock them down? That's the natural way. That's the normal way. That's the worldly way. But it is not the way of God. And so when you come together, it's wonderful to hear the Word of God, to fellowship with the Lord, to enjoy that precious, sweet time together, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read one more verse, and then we're going to finish for the day. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Abide in him. Friends can fail. And they fail because we are not abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ to be that faithful friend. And at the same time, friends are, we're human. We got the old nature even though we're born again. And so we need to understand that never will we be perfect and be that perfect friend that the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. But at the same time, we can have that love to offer others. We can have that love in our heart, that joy that remains, according to the 11th verse, and that peace, according to John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Please, that you understand the need for salvation, come by faith to Jesus Christ and meet him at the cross where he gave his life for you. that you would come and trust in Him, ask Him to come into your heart to save you, and to begin this wonderful walk. Maybe it begins as we come together by studying the Word, as that cleansing comes, as the brazen laver, the washing, but also comes the feeding of the table of showbread. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?